you know that it's going to be alright. I think it's gonna be alright. Everything will always be alright when we go shopping. Well, you know.
Hello, shoppers! Welcome to the Unsecret Shopper Radio Show. A fine, chilly, but warm inside, which is hopefully where you are Saturday morning to you. My name is Johnny Wright. Thank you for tuning in this morning. Got a great show up ahead for you. I think we have a few attorneys perhaps tuned in this morning. I have a feeling. I wonder about that. We'll talk a lot about attorneys in the law profession coming up this morning. I saw Country Strong last night. Have you seen that movie? The Gwyneth Paltrow, Tim McGraw. Tim McGraw does a nice acting turn. In fact, I always think it's fun to watch singers like Beyonce who try to cross over and do acting. In Gwyneth Paltrow's case, amazingly, an actress who has now got a country career, country music career, does, of course, she's a great actress, Academy Award winner, and amazing voice. I was stunned that no overdubbed, you know, you didn't have someone else do it. Just a wonderful turn and the film. You know, I took a friend and her daughter to this movie last night, and I told her that her 10-year-old daughter was going to love it. It's a story about triumph over alcoholism. You know, maybe some light sexual suggestiveness in there, but hey, you know, that's probably already seen that in one of those Justin Bieber videos, if that's, you know. So, and I also told her that the movie had a happy ending. And it turns out that I was guessing at that part, and this is why. I forgot that the first time I saw that film, I was with a dude friend of mine, and he's getting way soft in his old age. I mean, he's recommending we go see Country Strong, and I, you know, do we need to put on makeup first? You know, because I'm thinking this is not like a dude kind of movie you go see with your dude friend, but okay, we went. But I'd forgotten that when I saw it the first time, I'd fallen asleep like the last 10 minutes. So to me, you know, the movie was, you know, it did have a happy ending. So it turned out that maybe it wasn't so happy. So in any event, that we found that out the hard way. So I do want to apologize. Yeah, she ends up dying. Gwyneth Paltrow, she ODs on whatever it is she was, whatever pills she was taking. So, but it's a good lesson, you know, for people to learn, and I hopefully the 10-year-old wasn't traumatized by that. But listen, if she was, she can certainly get legal representation with one of the attorneys you'll be hearing from this morning. I'll be talking later on this morning with three of Des Moines' most prominent attorneys, brilliant legal minds. Kimberly Stamatelis of Stamatelis & Associates will be joining us on the program. Also, Rick Schmidt of Berg, Rouse, Spalding & Schmidt, and Tom Graves of the Graves Law Firm, all in the show coming up. Weather forecast, it is guilty of stinking, frankly. A cloudy day today and a high of 18, wind chill of 5. Yes, it already feels on the, it's very cold out there, and with the wind blowing around a little bit, sort of blows that cold air and makes it feel even worse. Tonight, 20% chance of snow and a low of 5. Wind chill, it'll feel like 10 below. So it's going to be very unpleasant. And then Sunday, again, a chance of snow and a high of 16. Wind chills at 5 below. Monday, back to work. A bit of an improvement. A 30% chance of snow, but the temperature also goes up and a high of 24. Right now, light snow. You know, I need to do something. Can you, y'all just, hang on just a second. Okay. There. Sorry. I'm now back with you. Right now, I'm glad it's radio. There's no cameras in here. Light snow and 14 degrees. There are over a million lawyers in the U.S., according to the American Bar Association. Absolutely amazing. In fact, I believe there's 1,200,000. Yes. And so, and I think, didn't I hear a statistic once in which the number of people in law school, now that can't be right. Forget it. I heard that the number of people in law school was like greater than the number of lawyers in the United States, but duh, I mean, maybe that is true. I don't know. But anyway, here's the difference between an attorney and a lawyer, by the way, if you're wondering, because there is a difference. Generally speaking, and this is, I found this off of a website, so it doesn't mean it's true. An attorney is a person who is a member of the legal profession, okay? An attorney is qualified and licensed to represent a client in court. By most definitions, an attorney may act on the client's behalf and plead or defend a case in legal proceedings. Okay. A lawyer, as someone who is trained in the field of law, provides advice and aid on legal matters because a lawyer also conducts suits in court proceedings and represents clients in various legal instances. The term is expanded to overlap the definition of attorney. In the U.S., attorney and lawyer are normally considered synonyms. In other words, here's all you have to know. A lawyer is an attorney. A lawyer is to attorney as gas station is to convenience store. They're both basically the same thing, except I think attorneys would make more money. Wouldn't you pay more money for an attorney than a lawyer? I mean, I'd pay a lot of money for either one. Sure, if I need one, listen, doesn't matter. You know, cost is no object when you need one. So how many divorces are there? We roughly know how many attorneys are rolling around doing their thing. Well, that's kind of a harder number to pin down. U.S. Census numbers, under 20 years of age, roughly, those who divorce in America under the age of 20, it's about 27% of women and 11% of men, roughly. All right. Now, when you get to the 20 to 24-year-old age group, it's 36% of women and 38% of men. So men, they catch up right there. 25 to 29-year-olds, 16% of women, 22% of men. As we get a little older, 30 to 34-year-old, 8% of women get divorced, 11% of men. And 35 to 39-year-old, 5% of women and 6% of men. Now, you know, and then this stat sort of ends right there because, you know, really I would think after 40 is when the numbers really come back into vogue. I have to ask one of my good attorney friends that I've made what that number is after 40. Divorce rate in America for first marriage versus second or third marriage, half of all first marriages end in divorce, 67%. And it's a tough number to really pin down because I think they use U.S. Census numbers, number of people who got married versus number of people who claimed single. I don't think on the census, which I didn't take, which I'm still waiting for somebody to knock on the door and say, you know, we're here, you didn't fill this out. But I don't think there's a place in there that says, are you divorced? It's either right or you're single or you're married, right? I don't know. Maybe somebody can straighten me out in that regard. In any event, the divorce rate is high. And for folks who have to go through that, very traumatic, very painful. There's children involved, of course. And so I thought it would be interesting, mainly because I'm a single dude and I've never been married and I've never had to go through it. Wouldn't it be interesting to go secret shop some attorneys who are experts in divorce cases? And so if you're wondering what all of this is about, I secret shop businesses at random every week, and I post them on my blog at theunsecretshopper.com. And I also yak about it here on this here radio program. And I also do customer service training. That's what pays for me to be able to run around and just secret shop places at random. And that's what pays the bills, puts food on the table. So I thought, wouldn't it be interesting to go see how these attorneys do their business? And I picked a dozen attorneys based primarily on going to Google search, which is the new phone book of the 21st century, and I put in Divorce Attorneys Des Moines, and the names that came up, all right, those were the ones I sort of picked from. I also asked other people, who do you recommend? Who's a good divorce attorney that comes to mind? And then a couple came to mind through friends I know had used them. And so that's how I amassed the divorce dozen, if you will. I went in with the scenario that, A, I was married. It's a good way to start. I've been married 10 years to Jane, my wife. We have no children together, but she's got three from a previous relationship. We own our own house, and we own it outright. Yeah, it's just one lie after the other. I'm a chronic renter, been single my whole life, but okay. House is valued at $250,000. I make $200,000 a year. Yeah, I saved the biggest lie for the end there. My wife does not work, never has worked. Now, before you start clubbing me about that, like I'm portraying my wife as lazy, just hang on there, because there was a reason I wanted to set this up. I wanted to set this up as if I'm going to be in a bad place, which is, of course, is exactly the case. Not only am I making 200 grand a year while she's making 0 grand a year, I also had a retirement fund worth over $500,000. So I'm telling the attorneys this, and you know, the reactions were just priceless. It's like, yeah, boy. Well, let me give you the bad news first, and then the bad news. So what kinds of things was I looking for when I went in to visit with the attorneys? Well, how does someone answer the phone when I call through to make an appointment? There's certain things I teach about with the pillars of the biosphere, the pillars of great customer service. Biosphere is the name of the program I've created, B-U-Y-O-S-P-H-E-R-E. And in my world, we answer the phone. Thank you for calling. My name is, how can I help you? Identify who we are by name. Knock down walls that exist between people that have never met. We thank them at the beginning because we're thankful that they've called in. So all of those little things have a place in that conversation. And not a lot of that with the attorneys. My suspicion is because the receptionist answers the phone a lot. That's understood. That's even another reason, however, because that's more touches, as they say. And listen, it's retail. Lawyers are retail. They live in the same world. You have to pay for their services. It's a service. It's a product. It is what it is. And so they're living in the same retail waters as all retail stores are. And it's a different kind of thing. It's a service-oriented, obviously, thing. So that's what I'm looking for with people answering the phone. And in person, I'm looking for the lawyer, do they know my name? Do they use my name? Do they shake my hand? Is it a firm handshake? Is there great eye contact? Are they asking me questions in the conversation? Or are they simply presenting, well, here's what a divorce is, and it's basically like a PowerPoint presentation, which, of course, we don't want that. We don't want that in any field that we go into where we have an interest. We want people to give us ownership of what it is they're telling us about. Put us in the place of being your client. That's about asking questions. And many of the attorneys, most of them actually, were very, very good at doing. All of them asked questions. All of them asked great questions. And each one sort of had their own persona, how they did it. Retainers, and also how did they present their fees, which was also interesting and important. Retainers ranged from $600 to $3,500. What a huge gap, a difference in those retainer fees. Hourly rates, you know, a paralegal at $85 an hour to $390 an hour for the attorney working on your case for you. Scott Fisher was the first attorney I met. I went in sort of blindly. I mean, I had some of the pieces, you know, in place in my head what I was going to say, but I didn't really have enough of them at the beginning. He was asking me questions, very nice and cordial, and he asked me about my home's value, and I threw out a number at $250,000, you know. He asked for the address, and I gave him, and I anticipated this, and I gave him an address of a home that my mother and I used to live in Des Moines back in late 70s. I think it's only the only real, that's only house in Des Moines where I've had the address in my head for, you know, a long time. So I threw it out there. Well, then old Scotty Pooh turns towards his computer, and he punches up a website, and he starts putting in the thing, and he's saying, well, let's make sure that your name only is on the deed. And I'm thinking, well, you know, my name only ain't going to be on nothing. You know, I don't own the thing. So we got a problem here, Houston. So he brings it up and he turns the screen. There's this look on his face as it rolls, scrolls down and like sort of confused. And he says, there's a different name listed on the deed. Bob Giuseppe. Yeah, well, that's not my name. So there was a sort of uncomfortable moment right there, and then at that point I realized that, you know, I had to let the cat out of the bag because, you know, I was busted. And he was a great sport about it. At Hudson, Maloney, Schindler, and Anderson, they had kind of had some water damage going on there. They had a sprinkler system malfunction at some point. Unfortunately, God bless them, they were cleaning up after that, doing a great job. Ryan Weiss was very pleasant. And interestingly enough, I also saw Ryan at the Fleur Theater last week with his wife, very charming. And so now I'm thinking, is Ryan following me? You know, if he turns up outside the radio station this morning, I'll have to get some legal help for that. Cynthia Lang was pleasant, greeted me by name, very knowledgeable at the Hope Law Firm. The receptionist, though, at the front desk when I came in said, can I help you? Listen, I want to tell all attorneys, please, all attorneys, anybody who owns a desk and who has an office and a desk, just, and someone's working that desk, just please do not ask, can I help you? It's just, oh my gosh, it's like fingers down a chalkboard. Yikes. Of course, because the desk is built for someone to sit at it and help those who come in. Those who come in indeed do need help. And so the last question we'd ever have to ask somebody in that position is, can I help you? You know, and it wasn't asked in a mean way, but if you go to customer service counters at stores throughout the city, any city, 9 times out of 10, the people at the customer service counter in any counter are going to say, can I help you? Nah, I'm just leaning against this counter. I'm afraid it's going to fall over. So again, really open-ended. What can I help you with? How are you even? Let's chit-chat with them a bit before we cut to the chase. Although, again, people are very, very busy in those positions. Phil Watson's receptionist said, the charge for the initial consultation is $75. So immediately I said, you know, nah, I can't do that. I'm a poor blogger. That's not going to work out. That sort of ended the conversation. I was looking for free consultations. Tom Graves gave me a free one. Tom is a combination of Melvin Belli and Dr. McCoy from Star Trek, and you're going to hear from Tom coming up later on in the program. Very flamboyant. Balducci Law Firm. A receptionist came out after a bit of a wait, again, asked, can I help you? We want to go with the open-ended question. Elizabeth Varnon was very engaging. She asked how my wife was doing, which I thought was really strong. The first attorney to really ask that. And so it isn't just, I want her dead. I want her children dead. I want her family dead. You know, it's there's civility within this. And I'm sure a lot of people, men and women, go in a very angry place and they want revenge and they want all of these things, these emotions they're feeling, and they're angry and they're upset, they've been hurt. But what I found with all the attorneys is there was an air of civility in it. And of course, they were bouncing off me too. It's not that I didn't go in angry. I didn't come in with that sort of vibe going on. Deborah Hockett Clark was the first attorney to point out that moving out of the house maybe wasn't such a hot idea. And I didn't tell you this, but I told all the attorneys that I had moved out of the house, that I was living with family, friends, somewhere under a bridge, whatever. And so she was the first attorney to really say, you know, you may not want to do that because sometimes it can be problems getting back in, and then you're going to be paying for two households and so forth. Marbury Law Firm receptionist was very nice, but had some strange questions. I said, I'm here about a divorce. And she said, is this in regards to a dissolution? And, you know, unless you know, I mean, I'm not a genius, but I figured out, you know, dissolution, that sounds like something getting pulled apart or something. That sounds like a divorce. I'll say, yes, it is. But again, it sort of seemed like an obvious question, but maybe that's why she asked it. Samantha Groenwald of Sullivan and Ward was just amazing. Fantastic. Spent a lot of time with me going over everything meticulously. Also asked me a lot of questions. Just did a fantastic job. Les Babich was the last attorney that I saw, in quotation marks. This was a guy who many other attorneys told me when I asked him, and other people said, listen, if you want to go get her, you go get Les. This is a guy. He's a real tiger. And so I called, and actually Les answered the phone when I called. He said, Babich. That's how he answered the phone, and it was just that. And so we had this conversation. It was $390 an hour, Les eventually told me after I told him I was making $200,000 a year. I said I couldn't afford it. I'm looking for free. He still scheduled me to come in, so I go in to see Les, and unfortunately he wasn't there. He was caught up in court case or something going on. But the ladies at the front were very, very nice. And coming up, someone who is also very nice, Kim Stamatelis, will join us on the radio program. Give us a little primer on divorce. Boy, if you're thinking about it, you may want to think twice, or maybe marriage is where you want to think twice. All that coming up, an attorney palooza today on the Unsecret Shopper radio show at 1350 KRNT.
Your lawyer called and said he had the papers all prepared. To sign my name was all I had to do. He saw the judge, now he's seen me. There's only one thing left.
What's that?
Will your lawyer talk to God for you?
Gwyneth Paltrow, ladies and gentlemen, a little cut from Country Strong, 1350 notes. It's really, country music has come a long way since then. But 8:20 now with Johnny. Thank you for joining me this morning. Weather forecast, cloudy and a high of 18 today. We'll drop down to 5 degrees. I love this song. Listen to this. Now listen to the rest of it.
Will your lawyer talk to God for you?
All right, where was I? Tonight, the chance of snow will drop down to 5 degrees with a wind chill of 10 below, and then Sunday, 20. Can you imagine being alive, and I can't because I was alive in the 60s, back in when country music was predominantly on AM radio, and really every song back-to-back was probably like that, you know, will your lawyer talk to God for you, followed by I ran over my dog with my old lady's truck, followed by, oh my gosh, how fun that would have been. Sunday, chance of snow and a high of 16. Monday, back to work. A chance of snow, a little larger chance, 30%, and a high of 24. Right now, 14. I remember one of the it's a long story short, I won't get into it, but it was a moment where I understood the power of attorney, so to speak, and not the power of attorney, but the power, the impact that attorneys had. And it was in a case where my mother, a very long story, my mother had been committed involuntarily. I had committed her. Again, it's on the blog post, much of it is. And so, you know, you can have someone committed involuntarily in Iowa if you provide evidence, you've got to write out a form, and someone needs to be a witness to some of it. You sign it, you notarize it, it gets turned into to whoever the authorities are. They make the determination. They say, yeah, you know, that person's probably kind of cuckoo right now. Let's get them in for some help. And there's 72 hours that they can under observation. So that can happen if someone's acting a little unusual. And my mother was at that time. And so we filled out the paperwork. But there's a trial. There's a little hearing you have. You go in front of a judge to make a determination. And so we get, I go to the little hearing, and I look over, and my mother was there, and it was just unfortunate, painful time. But I see that Maggie Moss is sitting beside her. And I'm thinking, hey, wait a minute, that's Maggie Moss. Where's our attorney? Which, of course, we didn't have one. And I thought, okay, whatever this thing is, we're going to lose this case, whatever this thing is. So the good news was that my mother actually stayed voluntarily at the hospital for some period of time more. But it was that first moment for me. I thought, wow, that's really amazing. She's really a great attorney. She's over there, and I'm screwed. I'm toast. It's not going to happen. So in any event, that was really my first moment. And Kim Stamatelos has had those moments, I'm sure, where she's representing and the other side goes, yeah, you know, how about we settle out of court? Kim joins us this morning. Good morning, Kim.
Good morning, Johnny. How are you?
I'm fantastic. Kim, you are just sweet, engaging, bright, bubbly, energetic. Right out of the gate, you were that way. Have you always been that way?
I guess I could thank my mother for that because she's the same type.
So you were raised in an outgoing, gregarious, engaging, lively family.
Absolutely. And also with the Greek heritage, you know, we're always talking with our hands, etc. So
yes.
I really got it from both parents.
Joy de vivre, the joy of life. It's all about kinesthetics and emotion and feeling life rather than just sort of waltzing through it.
Absolutely. The journey is a blast.
Yes. Now, is there a background of law in your family?
Yes, my father was an attorney.
And so what are some of the memories of that sort of rubbed off on you and sort of made you think, hey, maybe I want to be an attorney too?
It was really great because whenever I would go down to my father's office, there'd always be different people coming through, different types of people coming through. I remember as a child, the phone would ring in the middle of the night and I would hear Dad getting up and he'd say he had to go down to jail to get somebody out of jail. Also, whenever we went anywhere, everybody would know Danny. I even remember when I was raising young children and he took my children down to see Santa Claus and they said, Mom, Papu knows Santa. So I just really got to see that my father had a very interesting life and lots of activity, knew lots of people, was highly regarded in the community, and he once told me that the joy of being a lawyer was he never knew what was going to walk in the door. So that sounded like quite a fascinating career.
What powers someone to be to go through 7 years plus of college, to spend all the money on school that they spend, to go through what attorneys go through to become lawyers and attorneys? What powers a person to go down that road?
Well, I think for many of us, it's the simple wanting to help people. And as a lawyer, you get the skills and knowledge both in communicating, representing people, knowing people's rights, and you can truly make a difference, whether you actually represent them in court or you simply are a resource for them. Again, I remember that my dad practiced in West Des Moines, and when they had a problem, they went to see Danny, and he would know what they needed. If he had to pick up the phone and call the banker, or he had to pick up the phone and call somebody else, they knew that that was the first place that they would go to get their problem solved. So I think wanting to help people and wanting to make a difference is what drives a person to become an attorney.
So the perception sometimes of non-attorneys is that, people go into that profession because they want to get rich.
Well, I suppose like every profession, there are some that think they're going to do that as well and maybe don't have the same motive. But my understanding now in some of the students, and I'm an adjunct professor at the Drake Law School, is that they walk out of there with up to $150,000 worth of student loans.
Yikes.
So it's not a matter of money for most of the folks that are hawking everything to be able to get that education.
Kim, when someone trains to be a hairstylist or a barber, typically the first part of the training is you go down to go under a bridge and you start cutting winos' hairs and they're full of bugs and they haven't washed their hair for 3 months. And is it the same with attorneys? Do you tend to practice on before you actually go into your practice? Do you sort of get a trial run? So yeah, all these are puns now. I'm listening to this. Do you sort of get to practice before you actually go to trial? Does that happen in training?
Well, it didn't used to, but now it does, because in institutions such as the Drake Law School, you have a clinical experience where you are under the supervision of a practicing attorney dealing with real clients, dealing with real problems, going down to the courthouse, practicing while another attorney watches you. So, yes, that opportunity is available in legal education now where it hadn't been in years past. It's not mandatory, but most students take it for the very reasons that you mentioned. It's because we don't want to turn them loose, and they don't want to be turned loose, not really knowing what to do.
My guest this morning is Kim Stamatelis, 1350 KRNT. You decided to... Now, you practice both civil law and criminal law, is this correct?
I primarily now do family law. I have done all types of law over the years. I've been in-house counsel. I've been out-house counsel, I guess you might say. And I have landed where I'm the happiest, which is primarily in mediation, where I'm the go-between between lawyers and parties, and also in the area of family law.
Why mediation? Were you like a middle kid? Tell me, why is it so? Why are you driven by bringing people together?
I love mediation because it keeps the power for the resolution with the parties. Unlike arbitration, where a person is making the decision, mediation is an opportunity for the parties to negotiate and explore options, and then they come up with a resolution. The mediator is just the facilitator of the discussion, keeps everybody forward-focused, maybe throws out some ideas and possibilities, but the control rests with the parties. When we go to court, we turn over our destiny to a judge or a jury, and they're strangers. They don't know the parties. They only get to hear what their spin doctors, the lawyers, put into evidence. Whereas in mediation, parties can talk about whatever they need to get to resolution. And we can also think outside the box. We can look at creative options. You know, courts are pretty much limited to money or, very narrow remedies. In mediation, people can think of anything crazy that they want to, and if the other guy's willing to do it, it's a done deal.
It seems like it really forces couples to become problem solvers as opposed to being triangulators and going around it and blame game and all the other things that go typically in a bad marriage.
I think that's true, Johnny. And actually, you know, people nowadays think sue first, talk later. Mediation provides parties with a different option. It exposes them to the opportunity to negotiate and talk and try to work it out first. And then if it doesn't work, use court as a last resort. More and more people are putting into final documents that they will use mediation first before filing anything in court. And I think that's a healthier way of doing business.
Do you think people are really ready to get married when they get married? I mean, it's such a straw man of a question, but it strikes me that people just that they don't really know what they're getting. They're not far enough in their own personal journey to be going into an agreement with someone else for the rest of their lives. What's your sense, what you see out there with married couples?
Well, I think what happens is the strains of life get everybody down, and then there's disconnects along the way. They don't communicate about things. They're all busy. They're working, raising kids, dealing with money. And then before they know it, they're in debt. They have not managed to stay connected. They have stress with a child who maybe isn't compliant, and they don't know how to fix it once it's that far gone. So I think that people don't understand really what's involved in marriage and the work it takes. And so early on, if they can have those realizations, maybe get some help with counseling or whatever as early on as possible, we could probably save a lot more of them.
What's the biggest mistake people make while they're married that comes back to haunt them when they're trying to get unmarried?
Not managing their money properly. What I see now, and I know my colleagues and I see quite a bit of now, are people that are highly leveraged. They've got lots of credit card debt. Their house is upside down. They've spent their retirement, if there even was one to begin with. And so things are tight financially, which often leads to the divorce. Well, you can't break a household into two separate households where now you're going to have to double up on rent and bills and mortgages and so forth and have it not be painful. So if you think you had financial difficulties in the marriage, separating, you're going to have even more. And unless you're attentive to those finances and saving and managing and living kind of a healthy financial lifestyle, it could be quite devastating to you financially to get divorced.
Kim, what's your experience with genders, and maybe there is none, in the sense of which gender tends to be tougher to mediate with or is less inclined to mediate, or is there one?
Well, luckily, in the mediation that I do, is parties are represented with their lawyer in the actual mediation. So if I have a party, and it could certainly be either gender, that can't quite see through the emotion, because often one party is out the door, they've been thinking about the divorce, they maybe have moved on to a new relationship, and the other party's dragging their feet mm-hmm. behind, or maybe says, oh my gosh, I never knew this was coming. So neither party is really on the emotional path at the same level. And so the party that's kind of the left behind one that is often more emotional, be it male or female, often are more difficult to get focused on the business issues at hand. Thus, having the attorney in there with the folks really helps me, because I can use that individual to help me get the more emotional of the two to see from a business perspective what they need to see in order to make these important decisions.
My guest this morning is Kim Stamatelis on 1350 KRNT. Kim, tell us, tell our romantic parts that are listening, tell our happily ever after parts that are listening this morning, that you occasionally get a couple who, through some point in the mediation process, look across the desk at each other, And just all of a sudden there's puppy love in their eyes, and their hands touch, and they kiss, and everybody else just leaves, and they realize that they made such a big mistake and they need to stay married, and love conquers all. Please tell me you occasionally have those moments.
When I have those moments, it's a Lifetime movie. It's not what I see at the table. Probably what I would like to say instead is, get a prenup.
Okay. All right, not terribly romantic, but it is practical. Yes.
Yes.
Does it personally affect, and I don't know what your situation is, but does it, you know, cops always say, I try not to take it home, but I can't help it. I tend to look more suspiciously at things that went on in my personal life. Does seeing the amount of anger that you must see and all the things that go into people who come in your door, how do you keep it from affecting you personally after the door is closed and your day is done?
You know, that's a very good question. And I will tell you that there are times that I agonize over something I've seen. And basically what it is the damage that's being done to children. With the adults and the breakup of marriages and the disengaging of the finances and everything, I mean, that I can handle, obviously. But when I see some of the pain that divorcing couples in the height of emotion caused on the children who wanted no part of this, but because they're mad at their mom or their dad or whatever, they use the children as weapons, and they disparage the children in front of somebody, in front of third parties or the other parent or whatever, and do things that spill over to these undeserving of that children. That sometimes does cause me a great deal of personal pain. The only way I choose to deal with it is I'm a person of faith, and so I, you know, turn that over as much as I can. But I would just say, if most of us that are involved in any kind of conflict could just realize that children soak that up much more than we know and do away with that, then my job would be a lot more enjoyable.
Well, Kim, you have you are truly doing miraculous work on the front lines, as are so many good attorneys in the Des Moines area. And attorneys get a lot of flack. There's a lot of jokes. But the truth is that you are you're like the EMTs of marriage out there on the front lines. I mean, you really are taking care of us and trying to look out for our best welfare. And we so dearly appreciate all of us doing. I want to know. And everyone wants to know, hey, listen, I'm in a situation, I'm maybe a person's heading down the road of divorce, and they want to talk to somebody who can get their help their heads get on straight. I want to know how they can get a hold of Kim Stamatelis and Associates.
Well, thank you very much, Johnny. I appreciate that. And I will say before I give you the contact information that Des Moines has a wonderful collegial bar. We have some quality attorneys with high integrity. We're very fortunate to have that type of legal community because that's not the case in every jurisdiction. So there's lots of my colleagues out there who are just wonderful, wonderful attorneys. If they'd like to contact us, our phone number is 223-1631. Also email kim@attorneymediate.com.
Kim Stamatelis and Associates, 2700 Westtown Parkway, Suite 400?
410.
I was close in West Des Moines. Kim, it's such a pleasure. It was a pleasure to meet you in person and such a pleasure to speak with you this morning. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Johnny. I appreciate it.
837 now, the Unsecret Shopper Radio Show, 1350 KRNT. It's an attorney-licious Saturday coming up. Rick Schmidt, Berg, Rouse, Spalding, and Schmidt. You know, I wonder if the attorney who is sort of in the middle, if they have like, you know, Peter Brady syndrome, like if Rouse feels like, you know, he's kind of doesn't get any respect. I don't know. Maybe I'll ask Rick that coming up on the radio program as it rolls on. 1350 KRNT.
I can't keep up with what's been going down. I think my heart must just be slow.
The Unsecret Shopper Radio Show, 1350 KRNT. Jackson Browne, who said this song was the most misunderstood song of all of his songs. It's not about attorneys, lawyers, and it's not about love either. And then, of course, the question is, hey, Jack, then why did you call it Lawyers and Love? 839 now with Johnny. Thank you for tuning in. Love to have you here. Appreciate you. Weather forecast, you may not appreciate quite as much, but hey, it's every day we have of snow, remember, is a day we get closer to not having it. Think about that. Snow chances today, slight. Of course, it's snowing right now. That probably means it's about 100%. Cloudy day, which is what you get with snow, and 18. We'll drop down to 5 on the overnight. Wind chill feels like 10 below. If you run around without any clothes on, well, that's just crazy. And then Sunday, do tell me what neighborhood you live in. 20% chance of snow Sunday and a high of 16. Monday back to work, 24. With a 30% chance of snow right now. We're at 12 degrees on a show that's focused on attorneys, lawyers, and particularly divorce attorneys, but all of these attorneys do other work typically, as well as civil cases, some do criminal cases. And by the way, unrelated, if you are someone who wants to do some secret shopping, I would love to have you as part of the company, The Unsecret Shopper, and the Biosphere, my company. How do you find out more about that? You go to www.theunsecretshopper.com. There's also a website there to click on and get email stuff, contact stuff, send in your personal contact information. We'll get back to you, and then we'll put you to work doing some secret shopping throughout the Des Moines Metro. Now I have clients in the Midwest and states and New York and Missouri and Minneapolis and all over, and it's fantastic. Yeah, so fun, and a lot of need for it. Good customer service can be very, very hard to come by, and we try to profile those companies that do a great job of customer service. One man who did a great job with customer service is Rick Schmidt of Berg, Rouse, Spalding, and Schmidt. He joins me this morning. Good morning, Rick.
Good morning.
Rick, why in the world would anyone want to spend like 8 years in college and have to deal with whiny clients and to be an attorney? What motivated you to do this?
I've always been kind of the person that, so kind of the devil's advocate, so to speak, and kind of along the way, had teachers encourage me to kind of look into practicing law just because of my willingness to argue with them. So it was kind of a natural progression for me.
Did that go over well with your parents? Were you always sort of an argumentative kind of guy?
Not at home, actually. I really wasn't with my parents. It was more somewhat a questioning of authority, but I think I did it in a good way, so to speak. Not as a rebel kind of thing. More as just taking the opposite view of what was being kind of espoused to me.
Is there any attorneys in your background, your family?
No, I have a cousin that's an attorney. He was in Chicago, and now he's in California. But no, nobody that really inspired me that way. One of my partners, his dad is an attorney, and I grew up hanging out with them. So that's about the closest person that I knew.
When was the moment, Rick, if there was that moment, when it was that pivotal moment where you said, yep, I'm going to be an attorney? When did you know that?
Well, probably part of the way through my undergraduate. I kind of started out actually in an undergrad looking to be a veterinarian, and circumstances. I either wanted to be a veterinarian for my love of animals or be an attorney, and circumstances kind of worked out that it directed me down the path of being an attorney, especially some of the classes I took. There was a professor at Iowa State where I went did my undergrad that I really enjoyed, actually two of them, and kind of really inspired me to follow that path instead of being a veterinarian.
And where did you go to law school?
Drake.
So you're a Drake grad. And are most of the attorneys in this area, we sort of talked about this, most of them went to Drake, your experience?
That's my experience. It's just a kind of a natural progression to be in this area. And as you go to law school and do your clerking and do internships in the Des Moines area, you start developing those connections. And I think it's just a natural progression to stay here and get jobs, especially with a lot of the insurance companies and the capital being here. There's a lot of opportunities for employment for attorneys in Des Moines.
Rick, are you mainly focus on divorce work, family stuff, or is it civil trial work? What's your focus?
I do quite a bit of civil trial work. I really have two areas, and they probably seem to be a little odd, but when I first started practicing, I was in a law firm that its main area of practice was claimants work for workers' compensation, and so I was really trained in that. And then when this law firm came to fruition, I kind of decided that we needed somebody that really focused on the family law. I always thought that was, in my old law firm, I thought that was the area of the practice it was missing, and I was always kind of interested in it. So I took that on, and we had purchased a practice from an attorney that's mainly all she did was family law, and so she kind of took me under her wing and taught me some of the things that I needed to know. Besides what I, already knew in terms of the basics of the law. So that's my main area is family law, and then I still do some workers' compensation for individuals just because of that's where a lot of my knowledge is as well, and just my experience over the years.
My guest this morning is Rick Schmidt. He is of the law firm Berg, Rouse, Spalding & Schmidt on 1350 KRNT. Rick, what's the dumbest mistake people make when they are thinking about getting a divorce and they come to you? What's the thing you hear most that you say, oh my God, I wish you had not done that?
I don't know if I can just narrow it down to one. One of the most recent developments that I've seen in the last, I've had several cases just happen in the last year that it kind of blew up in the face of my clients, is kind of using the divorce as kind of a get back at somebody in terms of telling them they're going to file. And I need to explain that a little bit. I had a client come and meet with me. We went through the whole introduction and getting things ready to go. We were getting ready to file it and have the spouse served with the papers. And that night, and this happened on several occasions, the client goes home and they kind of get in an argument, and then kind of uses it as a, I don't know how to explain it, but just kind of, hey, by the way, I'm filed divorce and you're getting served tomorrow, to try to get back at them. And then what happens is, in many instances, that provokes the other side to do things that if they would just kind of waited and let the process go instead of trying to slam the other side, it probably wouldn't have happened. And so it kind of put them in kind of bad spots in several of these different cases. So it was, I guess, what I try to tell my clients is, you know your spouse better than I do, and you know how they're going to react to things. So keep that in mind with how you handle this process, and try not to rock the boat, and try to keep things as peaceful as you can, if possible. And I think, just as the nature of people and the emotions, there's a tendency to try to get that "got you" in there, and, mm-hmm. and sometimes that doesn't pan out. So.
Do you have clients who are sitting there with you, and they're going over everything, and they're asking all the questions, and do they finally suddenly say, like, have an epiphanal moment where they say, "Oh my God, I need to resolve this with my spouse. This is too big of a thing. I don't want to do this." Do those moments come?
It does. I'd have to say, in the recent past, I haven't had much of that. I think with the economy and circumstances, I think if somebody comes to see a lawyer now for a divorce, at least my experience, they've thought it out. And they're going to go forward, and I don't really think that their minds change. In the past, I've seen that, just wanting to try to work it out, and I just think that now people are either hanging in there because of the economic situation, or once they come to me, they've already decided that it doesn't matter, this is going to happen. And because of the economic situation out there, I think once they're to me, there's just no turning back.
Do you see more men or women, or is it just an even balance?
Mine's a pretty even balance. I can't say that I have more than the other. It's pretty even.
Well, one thing that after visiting with a dozen attorneys, Rick, and I've never been married, never been divorced, and I've only needed to use an attorney once, and that was when I was 17. It's a long story. But one thing that I felt with you is that I describe you in the review as a man's man, that there's this combination of masculinity. You've got the deep voice. You're kind of a laid back guy. You don't use a lot of legalese, and yet there's a gentility and compassion that goes with that, which I think is very rare in men. Period. Let alone attorneys that I may have been. Do you have a sense of that part of yourself?
I guess so. I mean, I think I've always been kind of. Tried to be that way. I think that goes back to my compassion for animals and my interest in wanting to be a veterinarian. I think that kind of ties in with that. And so I try to be that way. I mean, I can be aggressive and difficult, but I think I try to focus only and make that happen only when the circumstances warrant it.
I have to ask, who's easier to deal with, people or animals?
People. Or no, animals. I'm just kidding.
It's kind of a tough call, isn't it, either way?
Yeah.
Hey, Rick, if someone wants to is thinking about getting divorced or has some other legal need, and they say, you know, I like this Rick Cat. I like what he's saying. I'm a big animal lover, and he is too, so that makes me want to talk to him. How do they get a hold of you?
Well, we're located on Ingersoll at 2423 Ingersoll, and our phone number is 277-6559. You just give us a call and schedule an appointment. My initial visit is, there's no charge, and sit down and go through it and decide whether we're right for each other. I try to stress that in especially in divorces. Marriage is it's obviously one of the biggest things in people's lives, and to end that, I think you really have to be comfortable with the person that's representing you. And if you're not, and if I'm not, then there's plenty of lawyers out there, and you need to find the one that you are, because it's obviously a very important situation and decision that you've made, and you need to make sure that you feel very comfortable with who is representing you in that matter.
Rick Schmidt, the law firm of Berg, Rouse, Spalding & Schmidt, 1350 KRNT, it's 8:51. Coming up, he's his own kind of cat, combination Melvin Belli and Dr. McCoy from Star Trek. And by the way, those two characters were on one episode of Star Trek, which is ironic. I'll talk to that irony with Tom Graves, Graves Law Firm, next on 1350 KRNT.
Hi, I'm Steve Miller. I've been a trial lawyer in Florida and Massachusetts since 1985. If you and your spouse hate each other like poison and want to get out of the hellhole you call a marriage, you've come to the right place. Look, You can waste your money screwing around with some paper pusher paralegal type, give thousands of dollars to some piece of crap three-piece suit downtown, blow your brains out trying to figure out why you wasted 25 bucks on the crappy forms you bought from the illiterate boob at the courthouse, or do what I say and do it now. We know what we're doing here. Look at this website, a work of art. Here's the story. Pay us a little and we get you a lot. Don't worry about the details. We'll take care of business and let you know when to crack open the champagne.
Aren't you glad you live in Iowa? 8:54 now, the Unsecret Shopper Radio Show, 1350 KRNT, an actual television ad running in Florida for an attorney where they're on all the time. A man who doesn't advertise typically on television doesn't need to. He's well known throughout the legal community and elsewise. Tom Graves of Graves Law Firm joins us this morning. Good morning, Tom.
Good morning.
Tom, I described you as a combination in the review of you kind of look like Melvin Belli. You remind me a little bit of his charisma, but really your demeanor is almost a lot like Dr. McCoy from Star Trek. Would you agree with that?
I have no idea. You threw me there.
Okay. Well, how do you describe yourself as an attorney? What's sort of your MO?
Well, I think I try very hard to get what my clients want. I care about their cases, and I tend to be more of a negotiator and conciliatory than a firebrand litigator.
Your approach to being an attorney in the law, is it more left brain analytical, there's a process A to Z, or is it more about heart, nurturing, love, compassion?
Yeah, I think it's more of the latter, but I got to tell you, unless you do the other part, you really get burned in this business. You know, the law is a set of cases, and it's a set of code sections, and you have to understand that and know it and keep up with it. So there's no analytical. There has to be quite a bit of analytical.
Do you think there are some attorneys who go through, and I met with over a dozen Des Moines area divorce attorneys. All of them were great. All of them had some strengths. But it was interesting to me, the ones that had the emotional side. I mean, obviously to get your degree, pass the bar, you got to know your stuff on some level. But it was interesting to me that most of the attorneys were what I would consider very left brain. I mean, seemed very analytical, that they were pleasant, but there were a few that were more flamboyant. And you were in that category. Is that by design, or are you just kind of a more flamboyant, emotional, outgoing kind of cat?
Oh, I think it's my personality. It's just who you are.
Talk about growing up. Did you grow up in a lawyerly household? Were there attorneys around you? How did you kind of get into it?
Nope, a couple of teachers, and got into it late because I tried about half a dozen other things first. But always kind of been around the law, and it was always interesting to me. So when I said I'd like to go back, my wife supported me, and I did.
So how old were you when you actually went and got your law degree?
Jesus, almost 50.
Tom, wow. And we're talking about 7 years of college, right?
Well, I already had the college. Of course, I had a master's degree, but I had to go 3 years of law school.
So to decide to do that at the age of 50, many would say that's just, you're just insane, Tom. I mean,
yeah, I know it. No, I graduated before I was 50.
Okay, all right. So what were you doing before you went down the road of being an attorney? What other things did you try first, or done first?
I was a lobbyist at that time, and I still do that work. I was a reporter, magazine editor, PR guy, you name it.
And how much of a role has that experience in those sorts of venues played in as an attorney?
Well, I think it helps you be a good writer and a good communicator. But attorneys are all in the ball game.
You cases are predominantly, do you do mainly divorce? Do you do trial work? Tell me about it.
I do a lot of family law. That would be divorce, paternity cases, some termination of parental rights. I do some juvenile law. I like juvenile law. And I do defend criminal cases.
What's the biggest mistake people make when they come to see you about getting a divorce?
You know, it is that they don't tell me the truth about things. Or even if they tell me the truth initially, when something changes, they don't fill me in. So you just can't go in blind to these hearings or these meetings with other lawyers or mediators. We went one the other day, and, she didn't tell me the truth the whole way through, and the other side did tell me what was going on I still didn't know it because she hadn't told me. So that's too bad. That makes it hard for me.
So do you, I assume you have to go into any case or with any person with a healthy amount, healthy dose of skepticism about what they're telling you?
Well, I should, but I tend to relate to my clients and care about them and listen to them, and I tend to identify with them.
My guest this morning is Tom Graves of the Graves Law Firm, 1350 KRNT. You have a, let's say you have a potential client in front of you and they're telling you a lot of things and you're thinking, you know, this person doesn't need a divorce, they need therapy. Do you feel like at times you're more of a therapist than an attorney with some people?
Sometimes you do get that feeling, but I'm not a qualified therapist and I don't want to do therapy.
Tom Graves, 1350 KRNT. Great guy. Much more to that interview. You can hear all these interviews and the whole program on my podcast at www.theunsecretshopper.com. Have a wonderful weekend. Love on the person you love, baby, and have a good one. Monday morning!
We're the legend.